Welcome to our second module in the Salvation series. Tonight we're looking at the fundamentals of salvation. And the most fundamental of all salvation scriptures is what people jokingly for years called the football scripture, because for many, many years it was the backdrop on many football games. It was a poster up there for the world to see that God loved the world. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There is the theme, the charter of everything that God wants for us. That we not perish, but have eternal life. So let's start looking at what all that means. First, we're going to talk about what is salvation, how do you get saved, and then some popular misconceptions. So let's start by talking about what is salvation. Salvation is being saved from perishing through the grace that God has provided. Being saved from perishing. What does perishing mean? Well, if we look at the definition of perish from Webster's, it includes the following: destroy, deteriorate, spoil, weaken, or die. All of that is included in our salvation package. Perish is to be destroyed. Jesus himself said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life more abundantly, in the Message translation. Life better than you have ever imagined it. God loves you so much, he wants a life for you that is better than you have ever imagine it. Now the word perish is translated from the Greek word apolumi. And apolumi means destroy, die, lose, or mar. So perishing is to be destroyed, to die, to lose what you have, and to be marred in any way. Marred means disfigured, changed from what God wanted for you. And how did that come to pass? Look at the details of the word apolumi, the Greek word. The prefix is apo, which means separation. It means departure. It means cessation. It means completion and reversal. A reverse of what God wants, a separation from God. And then lumi. Lumi, the main part of the word, means destruction, ruin, death, and punishment. So perish means that we have been reversed from the plan that God had for us. We're in the process of being destroyed, being ruined, dying, and there's a punishment associated with it. That's what salvation means, that God comes through to us through sending his son Jesus to save us from that, through grace. We're saved through grace. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that we're saved by grace through faith. Grace, a good acronym for grace, is God's riches at Christ's expense. God wants to give us his riches, his blessings, to recover us back out, to redeem us from the path we had chosen that was leading to destruction. So we are saved by His grace. His blessings when we don't deserve it. We are saved by grace through faith. Grace is God's part, faith is our part. It's a partnership. God provided the grace through what Jesus did, and we partner with that grace with our faith. But Ephesians 2:8 goes on to say, you're saved by grace through faith. But even that, not of yourself. Even the faith is not of yourself. For God gave us all the gift of faith. He gave us the gift of grace. He also gave us the gift of faith. For God has given to each person the measure of faith. So we are saved by grace through faith. And even that, not of yourself, lest men should boast. We can't boast that we were saved by grace. We can't boast that we have done wonderful things in the name of Jesus once we are saved, because God gave us the faith in the first place. So we're saved by grace through faith. And we're saved through the process that God sent His Son in the world, not to condemn the world, but to save us. Ephesians 3:17. God is not angry at us. God wants us to be not condemned with the world, but to be saved. We are saved by grace through faith. We are saved because God sent Jesus to save us, not to condemn the world, but to save us. And we are saved by believing in our heart that Jesus died for us and God raised Him from the dead. So we're saved by grace, by believing that Jesus came to die for us and was raised from the dead. And the word saved is the word sozo. Sozo means deliverance, safety, deliverance. Sozo means deliver, protect, heal, preserve, be well, do well, and be whole. So, to be saved means to be delivered, to be protected, to be healed, to be preserved, to be well, to be doing well, to have goodness in our lives, and to be whole, nothing missing, and nothing broken. So how do we get saved? We get saved by calling on the name of Jesus. We get saved by realizing that God loved us so much He sent Jesus to die for us. And that there's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. For under heaven there is no other name given among men by which we can be saved. So we are saved by calling on the name of Jesus. Romans 10:9 and 10 says that if you shall believe with your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. There is always a partnership with God. First one we've seen so far is God provided the grace. We had to do something. We can't earn salvation, but we had to use our faith to accept that salvation. And we use our faith to accept that salvation when we use our mouth to confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead. So God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us and to be raised from the dead for us. And when we believe that and confess it with our mouth and believe it in our heart, then we are saved. Notice that we are confessing that Jesus is Lord. When we were still not in the family of God. When we were sinners, estranged from God. We had to have the faith to say, okay, I'm going to call Jesus Lord. And then you're saved. Then he becomes your Lord. So we come to the point where we believe in God. We come to the point where we want to change our lives. And yet, while we're still sinners, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, when we're still sinners, we learn that salvation belongs to us. And if we call on the name of the Lord, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 16:31. If we call on the name of the Lord, we call, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. And we call him Lord before he's Lord, then we become saved. And finally, a scripture on this part about how do you get saved is 2 Corinthians 6:2, which says, today, this is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And whenever the opportunity arises and your heart has this urging to invite Jesus as a Savior and to confess Jesus as Lord, that's a good time to do it. There's no like time like today. So, given this introductory fundamental nature of salvation, we want to talk about some popular misconceptions. Many people think that because they've grown up in the church, they've been in the church all their lives, that they're saved. But there are many, many people who have been in church all their lives and are not saved. Being in church doesn't get you saved any more than being in a garage for a long time turns you into a car. It doesn't work. Other people think, well, my folks are saved. They've been going to church for years. I've been going with them from when I was a little kid. But because my parents are saved, it kind of runs in the family. It doesn't work that way. This is something that's individual and unique for every person. Every person has to make that decision, take that action, and confess his word for himself or herself. Others think that good works get them saved. You know, that you live your life, you do some good things, you do some bad things. At the end, if the good outweighs the bad, then you sneak into heaven, you're saved. But not at all. The Bible says your good works are like filthy rags to God. No matter how good we try to be, our goodness, our good works are like dirty rags to God. We can only be saved through a perfect man. And there has only been one perfect man, Jesus Christ. And because he died for you, and because he took your sins, then we can be saved because of what he did. We're saved through Jesus, not through our works. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, that he shed his blood, and in shedding his blood, he washed away the sins, if you accept it and accept your salvation. Some believe that if they make a confession that Jesus Christ died to save the world, that's enough to get them saved. But just believing that he did it, just believing that Jesus is the Son of God and he died and he rose from the dead to take the sins of the world, doesn't get you saved. This is not a religion. Salvation is not a religion. Salvation is about a personal relationship between you and God. A personal relationship leading to a personal fellowship with God. That when you ask Jesus into your heart as your Savior and confess with your mouth that he's Lord, your spirit is born again and you're born into the family of God. And you now have a personal relationship with the Father God. You become his daughter. You become his son. You enter into the family of God. And the family of God belongs in heaven. So for somebody who's done that, somebody who's made a personal declaration asking Jesus into their heart as Savior and declaring that Jesus is Lord, having made that personal declaration for themselves, then they are saved. Then if they die under this age of grace, then the spirit goes to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. The body goes into the grave. Body stays on earth. But the spirit man, you are a spirit man. You are a spirit with a soul living in a body. And when you're born again, your spirit is recreated. Jesus says you must be born again. And the process of being born again is being born of the spirit. It takes place when you accept the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He died for you. He rose from the dead. And you ask him into your heart as Savior. And you confess that Jesus is Lord. So we'll teach more about this in the future. But right now, if you're listening to me and you've never said that, right now I'm going to give you the opportunity. So if you say this short prayer with me, if you thought maybe you had said the prayer a long time ago when you were a child, or you think maybe I was baptized and so I'm saved, let's do it and get everything done correctly. Because being saved through baptism, again, is another misconception, which we'll talk about. So let me lead you in this very short prayer. Almighty God, I believe in you. I believe Jesus is your Son.
I believe Jesus is your Son.
And he died for me.
And he died for me.
He took all my sins.
He took all my sins.
And he died for me.
And he died for me.
And you raised him from the dead.
And you raised him from the dead.
I believe that.
I believe that.
I receive the forgiveness of all my sins.
I receive the forgiveness of all my sins.
And I ask Jesus into my heart.
Jesus into my heart.
To be my Savior.
To be my Savior.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
To be my Savior.
To be my Savior.
I receive my salvation.
I receive my salvation.
I declare.
I declare.
I am born again.
I am born again.
I am born into the family of God.
I am born into the family of God.
I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus.
I am a new creation in Christ Jesus.
All things have passed away. All things have been made new.
All things have been made new.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
For saving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me.
Amen. And we invite all of you who are listening to come back and to go on to the next module, Salvation Part 3. Thank you very much for participating. God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What a great opportunity for each one of us to get saved, to continue in this path of salvation, to appreciate each day that, yes, we have said that prayer, and yes, we are in the family of God. And we are, as an ABC family, we're offering it up to the world, for God so loved the world. So he wants everyone to hear the message and have that opportunity to say yes to Jesus. So, as Pastor Joshua mentioned, we covet your prayers over each teaching, over him as he teaches, over the anointing on the words of the teaching as it comes out and as it goes forth on the salvationmadeplain.org website, and that we pray for God to draw people to the website with open hearts and open ears and open minds to hear, to receive, and to let it change their lives. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is happening. And we're all a part of this. He may be doing the teaching, Pastor Joshua may, but we are backing him with prayer. And our part is ever so important. And we need to recognize that we are all partners together in this venture of presenting the true word of God out to the world at large, that they may hear, that they may learn, that they may be saved. For that is God's desire. And I know the statement that was made, and I think this is a great one, plundering hell to populate heaven. And through this website, we can do just that. So let's go into communion, for this is, again, something else very special that Jesus has given us. Not just the sacrifice that gives us this wonderful salvation, but he gave us communion that we may remember what he's done, that we may continue receiving the benefits of that one-time sacrifice, that we may grow in health and life and strength and all that Jesus has to offer us, all that he paid for us. So let's take your elements, and we'll wait just a moment for everyone to confess any known sins, and then we will proceed. Holy Spirit, we invite you to fall fresh upon us as we come to the table to partake of the body and the blood of Jesus, our Savior. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you that we have your word that we can read that tells us that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It is our joy to remember what you've done for us. It's our joy to understand that healing belongs to us. It's our joy to confess and affirm that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. For your body was broken by that horrible whip and the 39 stripes, tearing your body apart as you took upon yourself every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, and every pain for all of mankind. You took it all. You didn't want to leave anything behind, so you didn't. Nothing missing, nothing undone. So that means we have that great exchange. We now can be in perfect wellness, healing, wholeness, health, strength, life. This all belongs to us in abundance. And so we now partake of that great exchange, taking the broken body of Jesus to receive our healing and our wholeness in full manifestation for any and all parts of our body that are under challenge from the enemy. Claim it all. Leave nothing behind. Jesus didn't. He doesn't want us to either. So thank you, Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus as we now partake together of the precious broken body of Jesus. In the same manner, Jesus took the cup and said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. No more annual sacrifice, no more covering over, but the slate wiped clean. Your blood washed away every one of our sins, past, present, future, known and unknown, all into the sea of forgetfulness, where you, Lord God, choose to remember them no more. Because we've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. We have been made righteous in right standing with God by the blood of Jesus. With the blood of Jesus, he sealed the old covenant and established the new, better, and everlasting covenant just for us. Just for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And with this covenant, we have life, life everlasting. Death is not a part of you. Death is not a part of God, nor anything to do with the kingdom of God. And death has no part in us. For in the name of Jesus, we shall not die, but we shall live and declare the works of the Lord. And our goal, Lord, here at ABC, each one of us has made the commitment to be alive and remain when Jesus returns for us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. The blood makes that possible. We partner with you, and you help us to accomplish that, to be the overcomers that you want us to be, that you've called us to be. We thank you, Lord Jesus, as we now partake together of your precious blood.